I. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to be changed and be straight. I know many of you do. So back over 18 and almost a half years ago, sort of there towards the beginning of 1986, I started preaching here on television. Kind of interesting, you know, I knew nothing about any type of procedure to come on television, you know. You turn on the TV, and you said Christian stations, and invariably, at least in this time frame, almost everything you hear is anti-gay. You know, I used to love watching TBN, because they became a television station about the same time I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it seemed like they were pretty good. They had a lot of good people on there. And then just before 1980, I moved up here. And they didn't have TBN. However, 1980 brought TBN up here to Seattle on the UFH channel 20. And you get it on your cable station. In fact, I think it's on channel 20, same as the UFH station. And the very first time I clicked it on, when they got cable up here and they were on there, what do you suppose they're talking about? They're talking about some kind of idea that gay is sin. Of course, this isn't anything new, generally speaking. There's already well-established 13 verses that can be used to condemn gays. We know that you can use any kind of sin verse you like. You know, you say the wages of sin is death. And so then you would say, therefore, see how horrible it is if you're gay? The wages of sin are death. You apply the wages of sin is death to gay people, but you do not back up that gay is sin so that you could say it is the wages of sin is death. Because if you say to back up that gay is sin, you have to use one of the 13 verses. Because there's only 13 verses in the entire Bible that imply some sort of possibility for male-to-male sex of some sort. However, those 13 verses do not say anything about boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and then they marry. You know, like straights, boy meets girl. They date, they fall in love, and they marry. You know, this is the general way that heterosexuals behave. Of course, we also know there's prostitution, there's hookers over on the corner there, and many of you know how much, and maybe some of you even gone to them. But when you think about heterosexuality as not being sin, what you're thinking about is boy meets girl, they date, they fall in love, they get married. We ought to think about gays that way, because I don't care what you think about gays. What gays are is boy meets boy, they fall in love. I mean, they date, they fall in love, and get married. Doesn't matter what you believe in marriage. See, you got hang-ups about certain things. If you want to find gays in this book, you got to find what real gays are in the world. It doesn't matter that you know that there's gay prostitutes on some certain corner. Just like you don't even concern yourself that, you know, it used to be, I haven't seen any recently, they still may be there, just haven't been, used to work kind of over that time before Team 5 television is. You know, hookers used to be always walking around that area. Well, when you see this kind of thing, if you haven't drive down there and you see them, some of you probably have. Maybe they moved to a different section of town now. Like I said, I haven't seen them there, but recently. But you don't even have, it doesn't enter your brain that this means, because one's a male and one's a female, that heterosexuality is sin.
But when you take this book here and you look up and you find the male-to-male sex, you apply it to the entire 630 million gays in the world. I don't know how you do that. I mean, if you're reading all of the men, young and old, from every quarter, and all the people, somehow you decide that verse is talking about gay people. It's kind of funny, though. All the men, young and old. What is this? We got a rather large crowd, even if it's a small city. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah weren't necessarily small cities of that day. How many people are all the men, young and old? And all the people. It's kind of funny. When somebody, you know, I get so many people trying to tell me God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality, and they use the example, all the men. But that verse says all the people. It says all the men, young and old, and all the people. Now that word men also means mankind, so that can mean people. It doesn't have to mean male. It does mean male, and it does mean people. So you can use that word as an interchangeable word for various kinds of situations. But then, you know, you don't even have to worry about trying to decipher it as, is it talking about people? Because you have comma and all the people. Then you have no doubt, because that very verse that you used to say that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for homosexuality has all the people. That means women, too. Because Sodom and Gomorrah were not male cities. Archaeology is saying there were families, husbands and wives and children in those cities. So, gay people are like straight people. A man goes someplace to meet another man. Just like you go someplace to meet the opposite sex. Sometimes they just pop up on you. But a lot of times you specifically go someplace to meet them. Or you get your friends to set you up or something, you know. And you can't figure it out. To you, it's just, you just want to love somebody, and you want them to love you, and you want the sex. You know, that's how you are. There's no question about that. Generally speaking, you just want to go and meet somebody to spend the rest of your days with. You might have to go through a few people, but you don't concern yourself with that fornication. You don't concern yourself with that sex out of wedlock. It's not of interest to you to discuss this because ultimately you do get married, and there you are married now, and you don't even care about how you got that way. Some may actually marry the first girl they ever came in contact with, you know, in school or something, you know. They dated someplace, and then they married them as soon as they got out of high school or something, you know. Once in a while, you run into somebody that's all they've ever had. These people are not good people to tell you about sexual situations in the progress to getting married, because there's not that many that went the way they went. They may have some good advice to give, but they should never, ever judge and try to preach a thing that sex out of marriage is sin and stuff like that. The letter kills. Did Jesus send you to kill? Because if you want by the letter of the law to make your point to somebody, then remember that when you're pointing at somebody, you got three fingers pointing back at you, and so you'll be condemned three times the stronger. Don't go pointing at people and tell them their sexual sins, because then you'll be judged by your sins. Find out first a few things when you want to condemn somebody. When you condemn gays and you want to find it in this book, you need to find loving, caring relationships of one male and one male, or one female and one female, in a loving, caring relationship that It is like a marriage. It doesn't matter what you think a marriage is. With God joined together, not let man put asunder. If you want to go and define marriage, then you've got to define your own marriage, because your own marriage comes from fertility God rituals, distinctly from the 12th century. There's a history on that. Now, why do you believe what you believe, people? Like I said, when I first started preaching back there, I believe it was March of 1986, right on Easter at that particular time, I didn't know what to do. I got the camera equipment because I had to go down to the station, and they gave you the stuff to you know, take home, and I got it all set up. I got the lights all set up, and got the camera on, you know, and got my button here, remote, that had a remote even on it, so I can point it at the you know, the 3/4-inch tape, big bulky stuff and everything. And I was sitting there, got on the clock there. Oh, what am I going to say? Finally got on television, you know, I prayed about it before, you know, I wrote all kinds of people, all the big major ministers and stuff, and lots of people, not gone a lot of things. I did a lot of stuff, you know. I learned a lot of stuff, did a lot of reading, and, you know, everybody's condemning gays. Like I said, when I finally got TVN up here in the Seattle area, they were condemning gays right away, more than they ever have before. Occasionally they would, but more than they ever have before. You almost can't turn a program on TVN on without someplace in that message a condemnation of gays. And I thought this was too much. But, you know, I was also watching public access, you know, you flip, flip, flip. That's what we do these days. We got strong thumbs because we flip, flip, flip the remote control channel switching. And I get the public access station. I see this woman. And she has a message, nothing to do with gays or anything. But a number of times in her message, she's condemning lesbians. Not gay males, but lesbians. You know, she was a woman, she did. And she continued to do this throughout the program. And I thought this was just too much. Finally, you got public access. It's a dime a dozen the regular channels of ministries coming on condemning gays, and we have public. This for me was the case. I decided I have to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do. I started around, I asked television stations, everything, can you give me a station? I look how much they cost to buy one, go down to the grocery store, buy a television station. At that time, I think the antennas were $100,000. You know, finally, public access, they wrote right away back to me, right away, and said, come down here, go on for free. Been here ever since. Now, I didn't know what to do. I had the thing all set up. I'm really shy, you know. You get me in a public place, and I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm clammed up. I was sitting there in front of that television camera that I'd set up in my apartment to do the program, and I stared in that camera for about 30 minutes. What am I supposed to do now? Then I thought of something. God was showing me something. Ever since the day I got saved, He opened up this book to one certain chapter. Every time, didn't matter where I was, what church I went in, they had a Bible sitting there, I'd pick it up and open it, and there it was. Every time. Didn't matter the version. This is my original Bible. It cost me $4.57. I had $4.58. When I got saved and read the little book of John they gave me, I went home and I needed so much. I prayed. I said, all I have is God is $4.58. I know Kmart has a little book section. I'm going to go there. This is the book I got for $4.57. My first miracle. Well read. King James Version.
Well, I learned since then, all modern translations are Satan counterfeit, and you better understand, when I say all modern versions are Satan counterfeit, you better start finding out about that. The easiest way to do that is look up Westcott and Hoare, and you'll find out all modern versions are Satan counterfeits. So I'm sitting here. Listen, I'll start by just reading what God gave me. So I'm going to, today, just do a little bit of the same thing. I'm just going to read this first little verse or two here. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now, I come to you, pastors, and the people that are watching me. I'm using you as a proxy to your pastor. And I come to you, and I prophesy against your pastor, and I prophesy against you, pastors. You don't know half of it, people, but what your pastors are doing to you. That's wonderful. The same as I thought for years, for a decade, or 15 years. I can only think that the pastors are so wonderful. How could you prophesy against the shepherds of God, the pastors? How can you do that? What authority do I have? Well, God gave me authority. And I do know why to prophesy against the pastors. You sitting here hearing my voice right now, and you're thinking about your pastor, and you think he's just a wonderful person. You know, we're not just talking about the gay issue. If I'm saying I'm against him because he says gay is sin, partly this is true, because gay is not sin. This is a conditioning. What I'm against, and rather, I should say, what God is against, because I certainly was not against pastors. I would never come up like David. This is your chosen person. David had opportunity a number of times to kill Saul, but he wouldn't. God is saying to the pastors, your pastor and you, pastor, he is against what you're doing. You are telling people this and that about the Bible. And you like what they hear. They say, Amen. And praise the Lord. And you love that. That feels good. Some of you might even do some healing, you know. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And you see it swaying on. You think this is confirmation that God is for you. This is not confirmation God is for you. This is confirmation that God will heal people in His name. If you believe, even sometimes when you don't believe, God will heal you. People like to make rules and say, this is the only way it's going to be. Well, you're going to confirm it by the Bible, but if you're going to sit there and decide how the Bible is in your own mind, then you're going to find that you limit God in many, many ways. God works through lots of types of places, and it can be confirmed in the Word of God. Pastors, you are feeding yourselves because you enjoy watching your congregation like you. Some of you will build up wonderful presentation. You have your, even the ones of you that are small, you have your own little kind of thing. You always have your little brochure that would say, you did this song. You do this little thing, you do that song, and a lot of times you move it so people can just be right ready to look at it. So boom, 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 you get your service done to where it's time for you to give a message. And you pretty much have got that down pat too, because, you know, after all, you've been in college or got your degree or whatever, you already know you've got your little outline to put forth together, a little thing that you want to tell people. Sometimes it's really good. You're a pastor. You're supposed to be helping and encouraging and teaching, and a lot of that part you could do, and wonderful. Praise God for you. But you want to hear their amens. You want to
make your presentation so nice. Let's get the best multimedia. Let's have the best choir and the best instruments, depending on how big you are and how much that you're growing. But you do not give to your flock that which will make them be able to keep their faith to the end. Pastor, this is where God is against you. He has given you commission to teach the flock, to train the flock, your congregation, to go out and be ready to be able to withstand the deceptions that are out there. First deception, counterfeit Bibles, all modern translations. Most of you have no clue, and most of you pastors are out there using. The last church I went to was a Baptist church a few weeks ago. They used about 5 modern translation passages or versions. Use a passage out of one, whatever fit their particular part of their message. They're not trying to put up their multimedia presentation. As they said the verse, there you have that modern. And they don't even have a clue. They don't have a clue. This is a terrifying thing if you know that modern translations are Satan counterfeit. You've got to use a King James Version, Pastor. If you're not using the King James, Pastor, you're teaching your sheep, your flock, to be ready to accept Antichrist as Jesus. You're preparing them in such a subtle, slight, trickery, deceptive way, and you have no clue on it. Or you have a clue, and that's worse yet. Many pastors are Masons, and even 33rd level Masons. This means they're not Christian, but they usually... These kind of Masons preach better and have better knowledge of the Bible than good, God-fearing, born-again believing Christians. We live in a time that we're not being given information from our pastors. We don't know what the government... We love leaders that is preparing for Antichrist's kingdom, preparing for a dictatorship, preparing for a one-world government that believes in Lucifer as unfallen. We love these leaders. We have no idea what they're doing. We don't know that they are preparing places, that they have our name on a list because we believe in Jesus Christ, that they divided us into color-coded lists depending on what kind of a Christian that you are and how active you are. You're on a list. And when that day comes, the first people they're going out to is people that they know are going to resist the effort of the New World Order government that they're having, and they're going to come to you and knock at your door. It's not going to be a pleasant thing when they come in. The people that are actually going to round you up are not going to be very pleasant with the women folk. And it's not going to be nice to resist these people. They're going to haul you away, and a good portion of these people, to the tens of millions, will be executed. Your pastor's not even giving you a hint of these times. The New World Order is doing it towards Christians, and Christians aren't going to disappear for the amount of work that Antichrist's kingdom has put into coming after Christians. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now you need to read the Bible and get to know Jesus, and that's in the King James Version, and then get ready. Churches are kind of scary to go to in a way because your pastors aren't feeding you with the information that you need to survive. So you need to take your own initiative and fight for your survival by reading the Word of God and finding out what's going on around you so you'll be ready for the deception. See you next week.